Yo, yo, yo. Hey, guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show. This leadership thing is hard. You have to be a leader in your dental practice. And when you're a leader, you can elevate the culture and things get better. Do you know that the number one group of people you spend time with between the age of 20 and 60 is your coworkers? And this presents a great opportunity for you because the better you get, the better they get, and the better everything else gets. And today, we share an awesome webinar that we did recently with Adriana Booth called The Leadership Blueprint, Elevating Your Dental Practice Culture. We take you through a framework that really works. And if you use it, you'll see your life will get better and your team's life will get better, which will ultimately make a better experience for your patients. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. We got a great one for you today. I'm just getting my screen all fired up here. And we're going to be talking about leadership, some of our favorite stuff. And if you're not familiar with our weekly or bi-weekly webinars, welcome. We're just so excited to have you here. We're going to be sharing a lot of good stuff. We do them about every other week. And Miranda, who is our director of education, puts these together with great content and our coaches. And just so excited. And you'll see as we go through this today, this is one of the biggest pieces. And Adriana Booth, who is, we call her affectionately around here as AB, she was just in a practice yesterday with some great dentists in our community, and this was the issue. So, AB, just give us a little background on how important this is before we start taking it all apart.
Oh, goodness. It is literally the most important thing, right? And Miranda's going to be shaking her head the whole time. Poor thing's voice is not good. She's under the weather a little bit, but she's still here to help us out and has created an amazing program for us. So the culture, the core values, building trust. I saw Dr. Short in the chat. He knows how important this is. My team yesterday, they are feeling the effects of the positives and the negatives when we don't put this into action and make it a priority.
Yeah. And we're going to talk specifically about that, what they are, positives and negatives, as we get going here. A couple things, and we just announced, well, first thing, I'm so excited. I want to share everything. If you registered for the webinar and you're a dentist, you got a golden ticket. Everybody that registered got a golden ticket. And it's our study club. It's our regular study club that we have. And we love it. It's growing like crazy. We have two groups of almost 50 doctors in them now. And you get a golden ticket to come join us. It's one of those things where if you want to just check it out, come check it out. And you can see how it all works. It's an amazing day where we cover all the things, best practices, and help our community get better with amazing tools. And you'll be in the room with other people that are doing the same thing. Dentistry's lonely. It's really hard to figure this stuff out. Don't try to figure it out on your own. And that's why you can come visit to the Top Study Club. Come for free. We'll take care of you. We'll feed you. We'll give you an amazing day. And if you hate it, you don't have to stay. Just say, this wasn't that great, but I'm going to take all the information and we'll be so happy. I know that won't happen, but with the golden ticket, you can reach out to Gina and she'll take really good care of you. And you'll see that's one of the things that we just love to do. We also just announced the release to the public for the Best Practices Association. It's a BPA. So we've always been big fans of great education. And now we've given it to our clients for a while and we're building the community back there. A lot of great questions. Team members now are able to go back there and ask questions on certain areas. And so you can make sure you join us in the BPA community. It is awesome. Here's the link. You can go back there. You can see all the latest things that we're creating. So we're doing these webinars. You'll see them back there. Masterclasses, you'll see them back there. All the tools that we use in our pro coaching, you'll see them back there. You'll see people asking questions. It's an awesome resource. And you're surrounded by people that are just willing to help you. And you're also going to see some of the best speakers in all of dentistry committing their time, resources, and wisdom back there. You just have it at your fingertips. There's an app. It's 24/7 now. You can carry it around with you if you want. And you can see how the best things and best practices are happening in dentistry. So check it out, Mole app. And then you can use this QR code or you can go to actdental.com/BPA where you'll find all of this. Please join us. I promise you, you'll love it. And the conversation continues back there. So make sure you check that out because we'll be able to add more context to what you're learning today. Today, we're going to be talking about the leadership blueprint, elevating your dental practice culture. And I want to just define what culture is first. And listen, I get it. One of the biggest challenges, if anybody's listening to this, your biggest challenge will be for the rest of your career, finding, keeping, and growing great people. It's just going to be the challenge. It's never going to go back to the old days. And so you have to up your game. We got to think differently. Having a great team is the most important asset you will ever create. It's not your Facebook ads. It's not your technology. It's not your CAD cam. It's the people, because when you get the right people in the right seats, they can make incredible things happen. Now, I know what you're saying. Oh, Kirk, that sounds so great, but you don't understand my area. Listen, we're all in the same boat. We're going to give you the insights, tools, and secrets. But once you start to get this thing, culture's right. And I have screwed up more than any person listening to this. If you've made a mistake, I've made 10 more than you have, or 20 more. And when you get the culture right, I'm telling you, you enjoy going to work. So if you're a big Mel Robbins fan, which I am, you're going to listen to a recent podcast where she did the American Time Study. It's very depressing. Don't even read it. But the number one group of people you spend with between the ages of 20 and 60, do you know what it is? It's really sad. It's coworkers. You spend more time with coworkers between the ages of 20 and 60 than anybody else. And so what that means, and that's just the reality, is I hope it's a good visit. I hope it's a good time investment. So this is hugely important. And culture is so critical. Organizational culture is the sum of the values and the rituals. And we're talking exactly what that is. They serve as the glue to integrate the team members of the organization. If you're going to find somebody great, they're going to come to you because of a why. And it's going to be a glue that's in there. And culture is how organizations do things. Like, I think about it every day. Like, I just got to stick to the rules. I got to follow the rules. I was the biggest problem at ACT Dental. I'm hoping I'm still not. I probably still am. But like, I'm trying to become less and less of a problem here because I like to look at shiny, bright objects. But remember, the culture is how you do things. And organizational culture defines its jointly shared description of organization within. It starts within. And what you do is you get aligned around how this all works. And then your patients see it on the outside. They see the culture. Your team members see it on the outside. It's so powerful. And it's the behaviors. It's the attitude and behaviors and characteristics of a special social group. So, AB, anything you would add to this? I know you probably add a ton to this.
I know. I don't want to overrun all of your time. And Miranda and I both are like, what? We love hanging out with our work family. So, yes. And the community. So it's just one big happy family because we focus so much on culture and core values. And Kirk, you are not the problem. You weren't the problem. You just didn't have your culture and your core values in place yet.
Well, thank you for letting me off the hook there. I appreciate that, Amy. You got to give yourself a little grace as a leader. I didn't know this stuff. I really wish I would have gone back at the age of 25 and somebody would have slapped me around and said, you got to get this right. And when you get it right, you're like, oh my gosh, that just got better. It gets better. The more you lean into culture and core values, the less crazy stuff you deal with, the less texting you do to team members on different nights of the week where you're trying to keep them all happy. The happier you are, the happier they are. I'm telling you, it works. And once you start, and you know, if any ex ACT Dental team member is listening to this, they'll go, yeah, I mean, he was a nice guy, but he just, that was like a disaster working there. Cause he couldn't be consistent, you know? And the signature of mediocrity is chronic inconsistency. Let me say that the signature of mediocre is being chronically inconsistent. And that's what I was. I was just inconsistent. And I'm on the journey like you, trying to be more consistent. But one thing I won't ever give up on is this thing called culture and core values. And so we'll kind of break it down how it works. But it's been said by so many experts, like culture eats strategy for breakfast. I love this quote because there's a lot of brilliant people out here. I'll pass on all of them if I can find people that are bought into our culture. Because you, when you get a collective culture, people are like, I'm all in on this. I'll take out the trash. I'll do whatever for these people that I love so much. You'll be shocked by the results that happen that'll go way beyond what you think. AB, have you seen this firsthand?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have several clients and one that may be listening. I was just with this week and we had some great conversations around, wait a minute, this isn't the culture that I wanted to create. Let's switch gears. And that's
Yeah.
what we're doing. We're working back from the start. It's never too
Yeah.
late to hit the reset button, for sure.
It's never too late. And as you evolve and know more, you know, there's a good thing about aging. You have less tolerance for the way things used to be. So if you're getting older and you're like, I'm just kind of done with that, let that work for you. But don't get mad at people. Get interested in what we're going to be sharing with you today. And I'm telling you, it works. You don't have to switch it all in 1 week, but over the course of a year, you can set the sail and say, I'm going in a different direction. Everybody's on the bus. I love having you here. In the event you don't want to be with me and do what we're going to do, it's okay. And so, why does culture matter? Because it has a tremendous impact on the team. Getting your practice healthy not only has a dramatic impact on the business, it's transformational for the lives of the people that work there. Think about that. People come work for you and go, I've never worked in a place like this. Now, you're going to change the lives of the people that work in your office first. And then its impact is going to be exponential, patient facing. So you're going to see morale, you're going to see engagement, job satisfaction, and productivity skyrocket. So I speak, it's midwinter, I'll tell you this. And I love midwinter. And I say this in a lot of rooms. I'm like, we could stop the seminar right now, get on a bus. We're going to go visit four practices. And we're going to, two of them are going to be really successful, and two of them are going to be struggling. You're not allowed to talk. You got to get off the bus. You're going to walk in the front door. You're going to walk out the back door. I'm going to have a pad of paper right there. You're going to tell me which side of the ledger you guys would all be 100% accurate. You go, this one's struggling. You know why? Those two people at the front don't even like each other. I could feel it. It was palpable. You know what I mean? And then you'll go, this one's killing it. Man, there was they were laughing so much. I don't even think they talked about dentistry. I don't know how it works, but the teams that are laughing the most are crushing it. And the ones that aren't, they're struggling. Like, and if it isn't fun, it won't last. And you can apply that to anything. AB, anything here to
Yeah.
add?
Yeah. No, it's, Miranda and I were talking this morning and preparing for all of this. And one of the things that she reminded me of was there was a client that didn't want to start with core values. They didn't want to start with culture. Get in the systems. Let's look at data. Let's go, go, go. And being the coaches we are, we might let you do it your way, but it's not going to work. So just do it my way. And now, after the fact, through a little bit of, push and pull, it's thank you. Thank you for pushing me outside my comfort zone and making me work on these foundational pieces. It has been a game changer.
Yeah, so cool. And again, we're going to show you how to do this, but the data doesn't lie. 58% of employees have quit a job or would consider quitting if they felt the culture was, just like bad behavior. People don't quit dental practices. They quit people. You know, if somebody leaves you, it's not them, it's you. And I wish somebody would have told me that. Like, I team members quit on me all the time. I'm like, ah, it's just them. And I'm like, no, it's me. You know, so I think that's an important piece. And 95% of employees believe culture is more important than compensation. So yes, compensation is important, don't get me wrong, but it's part of the package. And it becomes more of an issue for team members when the culture is not there. I run into dentists all the time, and I hope this isn't anybody listening, but people are like, oh, people don't want to work anymore. Nobody wants to work. And nobody wants to work. I'm like, no, that's not true. Nobody wants to work for you. So that's your challenge. And so we're coaches. Our job is to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable and challenge you. But when you can say, I get people, and one more thing, I don't want anybody to work for me. This is an important thing to write down. You're probably going to hear me say it many, many times. A level four leader gets people to follow them. A level five leader gets people to follow a cause. I dread the day people follow me. I don't want anybody following me. I want them following a purpose that's bigger. Now I become your advocate. I become your coach. I become your biggest cheerleader. Yes, I'm the steward of the culture and the responsibilities and all that kind of stuff. Barrett and I and our leadership team share that. But I want people to follow the bigger picture of this. And 81% of respondents on a recent survey agree that a company lacking in culture is doomed to mediocrity. So you can say whatever you want. Not enough new patients, PBOs. No, I would start with culture. I don't care where you're at on the map. I would start with, let's get great people. Because when you get the right people and you put them in the right seats, you can produce twice as much in half the time with a quarter of the stress. And you don't even know why it's happening. And, you know, according to research, you're 12% more productive in a positive environment. Now, that's not hard to figure out. You just feel better. Sometimes just feeling better makes things better. So it has a huge impact on patients. Patients can feel the energy. When you love your team, the first person it notices is a patient. They go, you love these women. And you go, I freaking love them in a work way. You know what I mean? So it's really important. It also shows in your reputation online. I was with an Uber driver this morning because I'll tell you the story later, but I went to a Marquette game, had a lot of fun last night. So I decided to drive home with one of my friends. So I Ubered to work where my car was at, and the Uber driver said, the score tells me everything about a passenger. If a passenger has a score of 4.2, I already know what I'm dealing with when they get in the car. When they're at 4.9 or higher, it's usually a good person. So I had to look at my score. I was like, he's like, you're a good person. I go, how do you know that? He goes, you're 4.91. I'm like, oh, thank you. So I gave him a big tip. So like, it's your reputation and it's important. So culture really matters. So AB, I'm talking a lot because I love this stuff, but you got to like, you got to stop me because this could turn into a 2-hour.
No, I don't know what Miranda was thinking, putting the two of us on here together. I mean, that been trouble zone, you know, but Jan and I, Miranda, if she had a voice, we'd be here till like 8 o'clock, right? We love to talk about this. So, but one of the things when you were speaking about culture and you as a leader and Barrett and wanting not to be followed, but to be a level 5 leader, also because you're growing other leaders under you and we know where you want to go. We know the vision. We know the why behind it. So it's easy to follow, so to speak. And you're constantly in connection and communication with how can my team be better leaders and also then help teach others to be better leaders. So it's that give greater than get core value for us. And we do that within our clients and their team members. And we always tell them, your doctor did not hire us just to make them better. They hired us to make your whole team better in this office and outside of this office. So it's some really amazing work we do.
Amen, sister. I'm so glad you said that because that makes me think of something else, which is dangerous. But the truth of it is, now there's huge benefits to this, multiple benefits. One of the benefits is as a leader, I love the idea of leadership. I always want to be a better leader, but you feel this huge weight on your shoulder that you have better communicator. You got to be more organized. You got to inspire people every day. And while that is true, the biggest turning point for me in this was when somebody said, Kirk, you're not really a leader until you develop other leaders that develop other leaders. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was an epiphany for me because number one, it took the onus off of my shoulders to do and think about everything. Now I got to just think about people. And so I got to think about how I can grow people that grow other people that grow other people. And it has a multiplying effect. And I know if you're a dentist, you're listening. So you're getting good at dentistry. You're learning about the worn dentition. You're learning about airway. You're learning about so many cool things. And that is good. And I would tell everybody, like, get good at people. Study people now more than ever. Because the people that study people get good at stuff. Now there's multiple, if you're watching this and the video version of this, you're going to see there's a cultural iceberg. And I've seen this many, many times. The iceberg is almost overused as a graphic, but this one speaks to me because there's observable behaviors that are above the water and they're behaviors. You're like, wow, what is going on here? And when you look deeper, it's way more important in the organization. There's interpretations of core values, which means they've done the foundational work that nobody ever sees around behaviors, what it matters, and all roads lead home to core values. And what people see on the outside, they go, there's something special going on. What'd you do? Did you find great people? Did you pay them a lot? What do you do? No, we do, but we start where it matters. So anything you guys would add to, you know, the foundational, what people see and what people don't see when it comes to core values? No? Okay. I saw you raise your hand and I'm like, she raised her hand. So, okay. So I'll finish.
I raised my hand because people couldn't see you, but it sounds like you might have fixed it because now people can see you.
Oh, they can see me. Okay. All right. Hey, you don't need to see me. You just need to see the graphics here. So, so last night I went to a Marquette basketball game with a couple of buddies. I had a great time. Now I live in the city of Milwaukee, and if you're anywhere near here, you're going to hear the word Marquette basketball. Marquette basketball has been transformed mostly by a coach. His name's Shaka Smart. Now, I don't really know a whole lot about Marquette. I love going to the games. It's crazy exciting. Like the players, the telling story for me last year is when they lost in the tournament, those players were crying. They were crying about how much they cared about each other, how much they didn't finish the mission. I was so blown away to watch players cry like that because it showed that they cared. And as of today, this morning, Marquette's ranked number 5 in one of the most difficult places to college basketball is hard. It's really hard. And this guy's transformed everything. Now, I won't spend the whole webinar talking about him, but one of the things he did was he's like, we're going to change everything at Marquette. He handed out a 26-page culture document to the players that were here and said, we're changing things. 26 pages. It was all about culture and core values. And in there, he says, listen, there's a lot in here. But if it's just words on paper, it doesn't really matter. Our job is to bring these core values and this culture to life. And bring it to life, he does. Every game, every conversation, every moment. Like, there's no egos on this team. You might think there are, but like, man, they play like a team. And so we're going to talk about that and how that all works and get you started. And so if you've done any of this work, Patrick Lencioni, who's written many books, which we'll talk about, he created this core values diagram. And I think about it a lot because a core value, they're the traits that are inherent to your practice. They're the heart of your culture, and they don't really change over time. And you can bring things to life. They guide behavior. They are behaviors. They are verbs. And I have to say this out loud. Like you have to be able to see them in action. So excellence for me is not a core value. I don't know how you could have core values as excellent. That you can't even define it when you see it. You feel it, but you can't define it. For me, a core value is a behavior. All in attitude is a behavior. Give greater than get is a behavior. You know, always be growing. That's a behavior. So they should be verbs. They shouldn't be aspirational. And so using this diagram could help you plot this where, but the core values guide how your employees behave. Bottom line is the reason that you don't like an employee or that you fall out of equity with an employee, it comes down to two things. They're not the right person or they're not in the right seat. And if they're not the right person, it means that they don't care about the same things that you care about or they don't behave the way you would like them to behave. They're quick to backtrack. They're quick to roll their eyes. They are not all in. They're just here for the job. And you are forced to micromanage. When you get your core values right, they do a couple things. Number one, they attract the right team members. The second thing is they attract the right patients. Remember, at the end of the day, like marketing, anything you do is one thing. You're attracting people that believe the same thing that you believe. Your least favorite patients or your least favorite friends or your least favorite team members you ever worked with, or if you're a team member, least favorite dentist you ever worked for, just didn't care about the same things that you care about. They cared about different things. So my first question is, what do you care about? And when you put the flag in the ground, you go, this is what I care about. You'll be amazed by how many people want to hold that flag up, you know, to support it. And by communicating your core values, you attract the right type of people. And I've heard this many times, like, you know how you find the right people? You don't. They find you somehow, some way. Now, it isn't easy like that, but by putting the flag in the ground, saying, this is how we behave. This is what we believe in. This is what we care about. You're going to be amazed by how many people find you. And the team member who just gets it and you love working with, they're likely to have the personal core values that align with your practice core values. And core values should guide everything. This is bigger than hiring. This is like tough stuff. This is like good stuff. This is bad stuff. At the end of the day, all roads lead home to your core values. So at the end of the day, like, don't try to tell team members anything wordy or brilliant. Just say, what would my core values say? And it's awesome how they'll point you in the right directions. And like I said, your team members are your number one asset in this whole process. So, AB, I want to talk about our tool in this process, but again, I want to leave space for anything you might want to add because I'm just dominating here.
It's okay. I was like chomping at the bit because, as I told Kirk earlier, I've been with two great teams this week, and one, they've been with us for a while and they're just super good human beings. And as you mentioned, it's not always the only way you can hire. Sometimes you just have to hire somebody, even if they fit like 75%, you think it might work. A couple years in, they're finding it does not work. And now they're really adamant about putting their flag in the ground. These are our core values. We'd rather feel the pinch of having a little bit of, you know, running around, everyone helping everyone a little more than normal, and then having the wrong person.
Totally. 100%.
It's true. You were talking about culture. I'm like, oh my gosh, we do surveys, you know, before every planning session to really get the pulse of the team. There were comments about mean girls, about cliques, and all these things. And they're like, we're done. We're not a tolerate anymore. It doesn't fit the core values. It's not happening here.
Yeah. Totally agree. When you have a lot of drama, that means nobody's holding up the behaviors in any organization, group, study club, practice, family. What do you got? You got to hold the behaviors high. And so we've got a great tool. So if you've never done this, or even if you have done this, this is a great tool that you can see them through this lens and you could start to evaluate. I'm going to say it again, though. This is the single most important thing you will ever, 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 ever do in business. And when you get them right, if anyone's listening to this that's gotten them right or is starting to get them right, you know the power in them. So there's four steps, and I'll take you through each one of them. And you can download the tool and use it. Step number one is identifying 1 to 3 current or former employees that embody what is best about your dental practice. So if you just think about 1 to 3 employees that have ever worked for you, if you're a dentist, and say, what made them the best? Like, let me get super specific about what made them the best. And this is where you should start. I didn't start here. I started at number 2. So don't do that. Start at number 1. Start with the positive mindset of like what, and what you're going to find is ultimately they had a mindset. They had a behavior. There was something about them that made them special. I started here, which was bad. You can do the same thing, but go to the opposite side of the fence. Identify 1 to 3 current or former employees who, even if talented, were a poor fit in your dental practice. Like, they were really talented, but man, it was just hard to work with them. And so I started here, and let me share with the journey. I was so miserable because I was trying to be nice. I was a wuss. I was just trying to be nice. I wanted everybody to get along. And so what I didn't realize was when there was drama, I was the person that was feeding it. I go, don't worry about it. I'll talk to her. I'll talk to somebody. And so what it lent itself to was people that were just very unhappy because they followed their own rules in there. And so when I started the core values work, I started from a bad place. I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. I'm just done. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I'm miserable. And so I started in the dark area of like, I'm done with this. I no longer am going to put up with this. And as you can imagine, you know, what you feed your brain with, it grows. So I had to get out of that space and start focusing on number 1. So as you follow this process, you're going to see it works. And step number 3 is now you got to take a look in the mirror. And taking all of these possible values, you got to look at each one of them through the lens. This is why you got to have a coach, because a coach can call you out and go, what is that? You know, is that really even a value? Like, that's aspirational. That you don't even do this. And it's important that you follow the rules in this. And our coach on Monday, her name is Jamie. She said leadership is three steps. Number one, self, others, culture. She deals with high-level executives who don't follow that process. They just want others to behave. They don't want to behave. They want everybody else to show up for morning huddle, but they're late because they were busy. Do you know what I mean? So I want you guys to do this. I'm not going to do any of it. So think about this. I got to walk the talk in order for anybody to buy into that. Then I got to help others walk the talk. And then lastly, once you get that going, now you can lean into culture. Have you ever just wanted to be the cheerleader in your organization? You can do it when you start with this process. And then you got to constantly ask the question, you know, if the industry changed, it can't be dental specific. So it can't be like, we do something dental specific. No, if the industry completely changed, you would still crush it because these have nothing to do with trends in dentistry. They're solid behaviors or verbs that make a great team source. So please use this tool. And if you have a coach, first of all, if you don't have a coach, get one. Secondly, when you get one, say, look, I want to start here and evaluate your core values. And you do have to let them bake. You got to let them bake for like a year. And what that means for me, like I went through the first draft. And it's funny that you're on this webinar with me, AB, because you actually created the first piece of swag. It was a swell bottle, if you remember, and it had five core values on it that are, it was pretty close to what we have now, but not so much. And so I'm like, we're putting the flag in. And then you let them bake for a year and you're like, I don't really like the words on that, or that doesn't make sense. Or a team member will go, these are kind of the same thing. Why do we have two of them? So you remember that, Amy?
I looked for it before we started and it's in the dishwasher right now. If it wasn't running, I would have got it out.
Yeah, I still have mine too. And I put it in the dishwasher, which you're not supposed to do, I don't know. Yours is probably a nice dishwasher. Mine's like it rips off the labels and stuff like that. But it's so cool as you go through this evolution, you start somewhere and it gets better. And you should come up with about 3 to 5 core values. Now, I've totally broke this rule. I had to add a 6th just because I'm picky. And so you can add a 6th or a 7th if you want, but make sure they're real in that whole process. And if you're looking at the screen, this was our version 1.0. I wanted to create a graphic. So I had a graphic designer. I'm like, just mock this up. Core values are in the center. And I put the king value up top. I always refer to it as king value because that's the number one thing I wanted. I wanted an all-in attitude. I didn't care if we found brilliant people, great people, talented people. Yes, I want all of that. Don't get me wrong. I wanted people that were all in. People are like, I'm just in on where we're going on this whole thing. And so that's at the top for me. A second one was we before me. I want people that like to say we instead of I. And then I think we've got to be focused on results. We're coaches. We got to get results for people. And so that's a piece of it. And then always be growing. I'm a CE junkie. Our coach, when he first came in here, the first coach that we had on this, I was like going through all my values. And I was like, I love CE and I want people that are like CE. He goes, ABG. I'm like, what is that? He's like, always be growing. Next. I'm like, how could you be so quick to this? He goes, I do this with companies all the time. It's ABG. I was like, game on. He's like, I got to get you moving. That's what a great coach does. Gets you moving. I've never forgotten that conversation. ABG. He looked in my eyes, ABG. You want people that are all, they're always be growing. So when you hire them, you tell them how important CE is, tell them ABG. And you tell them if they don't like CE, it's going to be a rough road for you. And it's true, you know. So I also love give, grade, and get. My faith is very important to me. I don't think we should ever keep track of what we get. We should just always be in a giving position. It's amazing how much your life gets better when you're focused on giving instead of what you're getting. You always get more than you ever dreamed of when you're giving. And you get, I don't even want to go off on that one. That's a big, important one. And then we got to be able to walk the talk. You know, if I'm going to tell you to do something, I better do it too. Now, am I perfect? Hell no. But I'm definitely going to walk the talk. It doesn't mean I'm going to run it. I'm going to walk the talk. So it's important to have it. And you go through your iterations, find a way to bring them to life. Add some graphics. I raided my kids' closets and the garage, and I found a whole bunch of props. And I'm like, hey, we're going to take some photos on this. And so AB grabbed that. We actually have that in our living room. It's a bus that my wife found and it has me and her driving and it's got all four kids in each one of the four windows. So there's only 5 windows on the bus. It's a graphic in our family that says, hey, listen, we love having you in family, but mom and I drive. You're on the bus. You don't like it? Find another bus. You can say it a nice way, but it's a cool, fun graphic. And then find a way to, And then we went through version 2.0. So again, is it not perfect? But I love adding some vision, some life, some energy to it. And you can do the same. Now, recently, my team members put we've got the BPA going. They created this neon sign at the end of the hallway. I love it. I turn it on, just stare at it every once in a while. But I, you know, and then Alora and the rest of the home office team, they did this, Julie and Andy, they took them all because they know how important this is to me. And they put them all in different frames all the way down the hallway. So if you ever come to visit us, you're going to get off the elevator right here. And the first thing you're going to see is King Value. And all the rest of the values as you go to the training center door, because it matters. When you come out of the bathroom, you're going to see Walk the Talk. It's so cool. They orchestrated the whole thing. I could tell a story for an hour on this, but I won't. So, and then you got core value medals. I've been here for 27 years. I've only won two of them. I hope to win all six gold medals here. But a friend of mine said, Memorial, you got two.
We want them. We want them too. We have them all. They're hanging on my wall behind me.
I love it. I find a way to celebrate your team members. So I got this from another entrepreneur friend of mine. He's like, take your values, make them gold medals. So the first one I got, I'm like, it's a little wimpy. It's not big. I want it to feel like a gold medal, you know? And so quarterly, what we do, we're going to change it as we get going here, is we celebrate one team member per core value. And then we also celebrate a practice that we're coaching that exemplifies the core values. In our To the Top Study Club. So you can find creative ways to do this. Now, this is actually one of my favorite photos of all time. So I love family photos. I love team photos. I've been doing this a long time. This is my favorite team photo of all time. Here's why. I tell everybody, you should take photos, but the eyes tell the whole story. Doesn't matter what people say. And so I hope if you ever see photos of us ever, I hope the eyes tell a story, and I hope the eyes in your practice. If I looked at a photo of your team, I could tell you how happy you are. I've been doing this long. And it doesn't matter what you say. I can look at the eyes. You can see the one hygienist who's in the back who's like, just take this photo. I got to get out of here. And it speaks volumes for how much they love being there. Yeah. My hope is that you use what we're sharing with you today, that slowly over time, people's eyes change, their attitudes change, their energy changes, and they will hold you accountable for the rest of the people that you bring into the practice to make sure that they have the same energy in that process. So let's show you how to use the core values. Now that we've talked about how to create them, we're going to put them into action. And so these are some great people that are part of the ACT Dental community. We've got David Perpall. Shout out to David. Awesome. He's in Evans, Georgia, and he's got his four core values: eager to learn, show integrity, be respectful of others, and stay professional. So you can put those. Matt and Sarah Carls in Wanakee, Wisconsin. I love this. They have this in their break room downstairs. Balance, all in attitude, the greater good, growth mindset, be the light. When you walk downstairs, you can feel this. There's no explanation needed. You can sit there and go, this is a different place. And it is. And Kristen Donahue, she's incredible. If you're watching this, we just love you guys. She's transformed her practice, and they continue to transform it. She put it right on the wall, and you'll be able to see those. And then Steve Spitz. So as you look at these, you can find a way to celebrate them. Here's the point. Find a way to show the world and your team and your patients that these are no joke. These are alive and well. So Matt and Sarah Carls, shout out to you guys. They posted this with hashtags. When they come alive, they recognize team members and they put them on social media. Don't share cases of teeth. Well, you should, but like, that's fine. Share cases of team, you know, doing things that are, because if I'm looking for a great practice, again, I can look at your social media. If I'm an amazing dental assistant or hygienist, I can look at your social media and go, I don't know if this is a happy practice or not. I hope your social media screams, we're a happy practice. We got some great people. So Ashley Lee, it's awesome to watch. When people get this right, I love the Thompsons. They're awesome. They're in Raleigh, North Carolina. One of their core values is ride or die. That requires a whole hour of explanation. But you're either with us or you're not. And it's called ride or die. I love it. So it's cool stuff. And then Rich and Lacey Gilbert, he uses this because he has an amazing practice, completely fee for service in Florida. He's looking for a specific type of person. And so he's got a little flyer here with four different behaviors that they're looking for, a few good people. And here's what we're looking for. We're not looking for the greatest XYZ team member. We're looking for somebody who lives, eats, and breathes these values. And with patience, it's a great thing to say to patients. Hey, people are going to ask you, why is this place so special? You could go, let me tell you. Let me tell you why it's so special. We subscribe to these things called core values. So again, putting the right people in the right seats is really important. Now I'm going to take a breath here. Anything else you would add, AB? Please.
No, it's so hard not to, right?
Right.
No, it's just so important. And I love all the graphics. I can't tell you how many of our clients have seen our things and they go and copy it and they level it up even. And I'm like, share with us. Maybe we'll edit too. Now we'll copy you. So it's super fun. Yeah, Kristen Donahue's is hers is that metal sign. It's definitely gorgeous and way above the top, which I love all the things. Yeah. And, you know, put it on your swag, you know, talk about it with your patients. I can't tell you how many times your reviews that you may see on Google or Facebook, words show up that are in your core values, because that's how palpable it becomes on the team. And this office is fun. I never thought I would say it's fun to go to the dentist. And that's one of their core values is fun.
Yeah.
It really does show up. It permeates into everything.
It does. And the copying thing I really appreciate you said, copy the heck out of ours. Like nothing I've ever said is original. I've copied so much great stuff. There's too much brain, you know, power that's trying to come up with something original. You can adapt it and borrow it all the time. I don't really care. It's awesome. It helps you. It's awesome. But the right people, remember we said right people, right seats, the right people, they have one thing in common. They share your core values. They care about the same things that you care about. When you get these locked in, when you put the flag in the ground, when you create swag, they will be so excited to wear the swag. They will be so happy to talk about the swag. And you'll go, these are my people. You know, the wrong people, they're not bad people. They just don't believe what you believe. They don't share the same values. This whole all-in attitude thing, I don't like that. Or, you know, you'll just see it. It makes it easy. So don't get wordy. You're either in or out on our values. And then the right seat is the GWC. Now this comes straight from Traction. If you haven't read Traction by Gino Wickman, I highly encourage you to read it. I would show you I have it in my backpack constantly. If you ever see me wear my backpack, go, let me see it. And I'll go, I'll show it to you. So it's in my backpack. I've read it more than 25 times and it's all beat up. Like it's starting to fall out of the binder. I have notes everywhere. I read it over and over and over and over again because the book never changes. I change. And I forgot this piece or I wasn't disciplined on this piece. And in the book, he describes people have to get it, want it, and have the capacity to do it, which means ultimately they get results because they might get it, they don't want it. They might get it and they want it, but they don't have the time or the skill set. So you got to check each box. They get it, they want it, and they have the capacity to do it. And the wrong seat is they're not bad people. They just don't get it, want it, or have the capacity to do it. And this starts with your leadership team or key positions in your practice. And eventually every position in your practice is coming up with some type of moving away from the subjective and getting into the objective. What does it mean to be in the seat? I need somebody who fits our core values and they get it, want it, and have the capacity to do it. And once you start to do that, it's amazing. And let me share with you one additional thought. If you're miserable right now in your dental practice, that means no one's holding the culture high. So, and what happens ultimately is you have this happen. Nothing kills a great team member than when you consistently tolerate a bad one. Your great team members will come up to you and they'll stop you in the hallway and they'll go, today's the day. And you go, oh, that's awesome. What's today? And they go, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I absolutely refuse to be treated like that at the place of work. It's me or her. You have to decide. And if you're like me, you're a wuss. You don't do anything. You go, I'll talk to her. Don't worry. And so you talk to her, talk to the other one, and then you talk to the other one. And if you're like me, you go to a restaurant years ago and you're with your family and your phone is blowing up. One's texting you and the other one's texting you. And then there's a shared text with both of them on it. And then you're like, okay, you say to your wife, I got to go outside. And now I'm talking to one. And then I hang up and I go, I just talked to her. Can you please go and talk to her? And now I go back and my wife goes, what's wrong with you? I go, nothing. I'm just as unhappy as could possibly be. While two people just argue in the universe about each other. So you've got to put the flag in the ground. So
and what did that go back to, though, Kirk? What did it go back to? They did not fit core values.
Yeah, they didn't fit core values. But here's the, you're asking a great question. They didn't fit the core values because they didn't know the core values. And I didn't even. I was just a wuss.
They were just in your head. You hadn't clearly communicated them into the workplace.
Oh, AB, you're talking my language because I've had this conversation probably 300 times with people. Core values are not out there. They're in here.
Yeah.
They're here. Karate here, not out there. You know what I mean? Like, no, I get it. Your core values are in you. They are inside of you. They are part of your fabric, but you can't leave them there. You've got to get them out onto paper, onto cups, onto t-shirts, onto
me. And then when you do, and you still don't follow them, guess what happens? Your team thinks they're trash.
Yeah.
You know, if you're letting bad behavior continue, or you are bending and flexing on your core values, maybe because of a producer, a strong producer in a practice, a hygienist, a doctor, whoever it may be, your team doesn't believe in you and they're not going to trust you. They don't trust that culture and core values are really important to you, because as a team member, we watch actions. We don't listen to words.
Absolutely. So well said, because when you get these right, the hardest part you realize is I got to walk this talk. You know, I got to follow the rules. And when you follow the rules, other people follow the rules, and it ultimately builds trust. Don't hate me for this, but the truth of it is I'm just getting older and I just don't have the patience. When you get your core values right, it's like craziness repellent. That's what it is. It's like, I'm just going to spray this repellent everywhere and craziness goes away. People, like, you don't deal with crazy behaviors, crazy emails, crazy like words. You just don't. It's wild how it goes away. And it leans into the second culture key, which is it starts to build trust. People start to believe in you. They go, he's actually a good person and he actually sticks to what he says. And so when you start to get the core values right, it builds the single most important currency in your practice, which is called trust. The world is going to be in a compromised place in the future. I think the world's going to be an amazing place, but what's going to be compromised is trust. We're not going to believe anything now. We don't even believe the news. We don't even believe social media. Like, we're starving for somebody we could believe in. We're just starving for something to believe in. And so the opportunity is way bigger than building a great team. You can build an incredible thing, whatever you're building, where people go, I just believe in these people. Yeah, they're expensive. They're really good at what they do. But man, if I ever need that, that's where I'm going. So you, and you, the transparency is important. There's opportunities for transparency. Now that's a word that gets used a lot, but let's be super specific. Transparency happens in your daily huddle. It happens in your weekly team meetings, and it happens in your quarterly and annual planning sessions. If you don't do your huddles, that means you're terrible at running huddles. You should get good at running huddles and let people share. Huddles are for patient care. Team meetings are for practice care. And a team meeting should be a good one. You should feel like, wow, that was 2 hours. And man, we didn't even cover everything. We got so much done. It should never be a recycling of trash and problems. And so it becomes an incredible opportunity for transparency. You can also be empathetic, which means you can do a check-in. Trust happens as a result of certain things. And the first one is transparency. I love being transparent. I share too much with my team because we all feel safe. And you just don't get safe. You have to work hard at creating safe. And when you do that, because you're sticking to your values, people go, wow, I can't believe you just shared that. I'm going to share everything, whether you like it or not, because you need to know what's behind the scenes. And the second thing is you can start to feel empathetic with four people together. They can feel empathy towards you. And a regular check-in is a space. It's a regular system in which you're checking in with team members. You know, look at anybody who's created a great culture. They all have check-ins. All of them have check-ins. They have check-ins with team members. They have check-in with family members. It's a space regularly where a team member can sit down with you And you're just, you can say the words, hey, look, I care about you. Let's talk about personal high, personal low, professional high, professional low, and how I can support you. Now, team members are not required by law to share anything with you personally. And you don't have to share anything. I'm just leaving space for anything you want to share with me. And the first couple will be awkward. But as you get into it, they're going to share some powerful stuff. You'll actually sit in a check-in and go, wow, I didn't need to know all of that. But I appreciate the fact that you even share that with me, which means this is powerful in their relationships. And you can be consistent. And so the opportunity for consistency is you can say what you mean, you do what you say, and you're holding yourself accountable, and you allow other team members to hold you accountable. AB, give us a good word on this.
I'm going to go on back to the one before, mainly because I, as a hygienist, or maybe it's just my personality, people tell me a lot of things. Some things I don't need to know, don't want to know, should have never known. And some of our doctors have that same gene. So I always tell them, make sure we create boundaries around sharing personal things in the check-in so that they don't feel like it's a therapy session. Because some doctors get really nervous, or the leaders, and they're like, I don't want to dive in these rabbit holes about these personal things. That is not the intention. So create some boundaries around what is okay and not okay, possibly to share in that 15-minute window.
Totally. Totally. And one more thing, because I want this to come across as helpful. So please don't get upset if you're a dentist listening to this. The bottleneck in a bottle is never in the middle of the bottle. It's at the top of the bottle. We coach great practices all over the country on this stuff. We help them become extremely healthy and they love it. And then they crush it. But they start with healthy. They start with consistency. And if you're a dentist listening to this, you can go, you don't understand my team members. I just want them. No, it starts with you. And if you have a partner, it's 10 times harder because now you've got to be really aligned with a partner on what your core values are before you can even bring it to a leadership team, an office manager, or the rest of the team. But I'm telling you guys, it is the golden opportunity. Three partners is three times as hard because you got three different sets of, you know, everything. But that's the value of a great coach. A great coach can tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. Here it comes. Bam. Gloves off. I like the term gloves off. I had a coach one time say gloves off. I go, gloves off. And I was like, oh, that really hurt. And it was so helpful. Great coaches are not supposed to make you feel comfortable. They're supposed to help you get things done and get healthy. And so if you've ever struggled with this, you got to start at the top. And you got to get aligned on how values, and as you start to work them down and you're consistent about them, you're going to see people will trust you. They will bring other team members to the practice and go, this is the, I work for some great people. You know, one of your favorite, I'll share this for as long as I do this. One of my favorite things I ever heard a team member say, and I'll never forget where I was when I heard it. She said, I work for an amazing dentist, but she's an even better human being. And I was like, wow, that just hit me in the heart. And I could tell by her eyes, she believed in 100%. And you could tell that the dentist she works for works hard at this stuff, works hard at being consistent, hard at the values, hard at being transparent, empathetic, and they crush it. And so as we continue down this path, we're going to come back to this, but I wanted to give you some great reading and give you a homework. There's a great book. It's called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. This will freak you out. It's one of the best books I've ever read. And when you start to go through this, you're going to see your whole career path in here. You're going to see, oh my gosh, this is where I went wrong. He builds the process around what we've shared here with the core values and how you use it and how things get better. If you use what we've shared already and you follow this framework, you'll see your life will get better, your practice will get better, your care will get better. Your financials will get better. Your days will get better. You'll love this whole process. You start to trust each other and you could start to engage what's called healthy conflict. So I wanted to leave you with a couple of those pieces because I just didn't want to give you both of those. There's continued learning on this, but let's get the first two pieces down, which is our core values. Let's put those into the ground. And that's the hardest part. And then let's start getting into regular communication rhythms in which we share a lot and they're very healthy. And at the end of the day, you can all give them a high rating. We do this here at ACT Dental at our meetings that Miranda runs on Mondays. She'll say, put the score in, you know, in the chat. And so my job as a leader is to make sure the score is pretty high. It's not always been pretty high. It's actually been pretty low at times. And so when you get it above 9, you know people are leaning into it. They're starting to love it. And that's what I wish for all of you that are listening. So a couple last thoughts, final takeaways. Everything begins and ends with your core values. And secondly, they just can't hang on the walls. They have to be alive in the hallways, you know? And then thirdly, make a plan for how to use your core values every day. I strongly believe everybody's got to have a core values champion. Here at Ectdental, it's Heather Crockett. She's just my, she's my companion, my helper. I'm thinking about things all day, but she's the one that's holding me accountable to new ideas, what we're going to roll out next quarter. See, Miranda and AB don't even know what we're up to next quarter, but we've got some cool stuff brewing. I want to make sure that when I show my team at the next team meeting, they go, this is really cool. And that's the result of proactive work. And you're a dentist. You don't have time to think about this. So make sure you have a companion, a core values champion in your practice. And then remember, you know, as you start to do this, you're going to really cultivate transparency, empathy, and consistency, which are critical elements in building trust as a leader. And you'll be amazed at how much better everything goes. And remember, as goes the leader, so goes the team. So, last thoughts or questions? Anybody have any questions in the chat at all? AB, do you have any thoughts before we answer any questions that are in the chat?
Oh, you know, it goes back to, you know, if you don't have a coach to challenge your core values, get one. We would love to help you. Absolutely. Reach out to us. You could sit down, and if you get really quiet and honest with yourself, there have been decisions that were made in your practice or in your life that didn't align with your core values. So it's a real easy way to say, this is what I need. I need this work.
Yeah.
And I think of a few of my clients who in their journey with ACT and in their business and transitions, they started with core values and they believed in it, but maybe not wholeheartedly. But then once they really decided, you know what, this is that important, they watched their team change. When their team got behind it, I think they are even more on board with core values than the doctors are, because they were like, no, we're not doing that. Doesn't fit core values. Nope, we're not hiring them. They don't fit core values, you know? And it's a beautiful shift when you have this whole group of leaders pushing you forward. Your numbers go up, your productivity goes up, but your stress goes down.
Does. Mm-hmm. It does. And so Melissa asked the question, can you say more on how the team members rank leadership team with numbers? Do you ask rankings during the individual check-ins? During the check-ins, not so much. But what we do use is a right person, right seat scorecard. Very important. And in that, you're giving data to your core values. So here at Ectdental, this is what I do. This is what our leaders do. We evaluate each one of our team members on the 6 core values. So you get a number. And then we tell you if you're meeting expectations or exceeding expectations and give you specific feedback. And so if a team member ever is below expectations, so we do 0, 1, 2, 3. You know, I mean, 1 is you're meeting expectations. 2, you're exceeding expectations. 0, you're not. And there's a minimum score. What you want to do is take the subjective and go to objective. And so if I give you a 1, your first reaction is you're going to be like, just meeting expectations? What can I do to exceed them? I'll tell you. Or if you're below expectations and you're a 0, I'm going to give you specific instances or feedback that I see as a leader, and I'm going to give you 30 days to improve that where it's noticeable. And we're both hoping that the score goes up. What it allows people to do is select in or select out. Your best ones will go, well, that's not good enough. I want to be really good at this. It allows people to go to the top. Now, I will tell you, before you do that, you have to take the leadership team through that. So let me just speak to a 3-doctor practice. All 3 doctors have to go through the right person, right scorecard. And I will tell you, that is not fun. Because not ever, or hardly ever, I mean, it may happen, but rarely ever does everyone score perfect. You're going to have discrepancies. And that's where a great coach can facilitate a conversation about the discrepancies. You can call out a partner and go, listen, I don't think you're all in. I think you're all about you. And that's a tough conversation for you to have with a partner. But it's a great conversation for a coach to have with one of the partners. You know, so it's really good. My coach, her name is Jamie. She freaks me out. I'm so nervous when she talks.
We love her.
It's going to, you know, so I love your question, Melissa, and that's for a different webinar, but you do need data and you have to be able to, and you just can't have team members grading each other when the doctors aren't held to the standard. So again, 0, below expectations; 1, meeting expectations; 2, exceeding expectations. So on my team, I'm looking for a minimum of 6 in your first month. That keeps.
I think she also is asking how the team is ranking the leaders.
Yeah.
So we think about a coaching tool as the practice health score.
Totally. Yep. Yeah. So you can, and that's another piece of it. And that's, you know, 2.0. And again, that's for a different webinar. And I'll have our coaches go through that. But that's a wonderful next step in this whole process. We have to do top down first. And then certainly you can have team members grade, you know, leadership. So it's
one
awesome.
One of the things I add to check-ins also, Melissa, you can also have your team, once you have your core values in place, you know, when we do this, we rate ourselves. How well are we living those core values?
Right.
So that way, that's a great conversation to have as well. And then you could also create that to how well does your team see you as a leader living those core values?
Totally.
So you can have some really good conversations around that.
Yeah. What a wonderful place to start.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking all of the things that you feel and you're putting them into data and you're being super clear. Remember, your job as a leader is to create great clarity around what it means to be here and where we're going. And with core values, the right person, right seat scorecard, you can create great clarity in a great practice. So hope you guys enjoyed this. We're going to keep bringing it. And our next webinar, which is going to be 2 weeks from now, is going to be on, let me do the drum roll here. So, because I actually don't even, this is so funny. I don't even actually know.
Unlock the power of patient commitment.
There you go.
See? Strategies to drastically reduce cancellation.
More in your slides.
I know. More examples. Just another example of why you have to surround yourself with great people and your core values, because they make it all happen. So our next webinar, which is on March 14th, is Unlock the Power of Patient Commitment. We're going to be talking about how you can specifically reduce cancellations and dramatically reduce them. So we're going to go real, real specific for you on that if cancellations are a challenge in your practice.
That'll be a hot item. That's such a big topic right now.
For sure. So thank you guys for tuning in. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to us. Thank you, Miranda and AB, for putting all this together. I appreciate you guys so much. And until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep hanging in there, create a better practice and a better life. Hope you guys have a great day. Thank you, everybody. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.